There's a wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder as sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. There's a wonder of springtime and harvest, the sky, the stars, the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that's only begun. There's the wonder of God's revelation, the Word who dwelt amongst men. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is that Jesus is coming again. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me.
And amen. Thank you, Brother Raley. God bless you. And thank you, Brother Farish, for allowing God to lead into exactly what I want to talk to our church for just a few moments together tonight. Galatians 1 and 1 Timothy 1, if you would. Church, I want to talk to you for just a moment. You know, every time we have a missionary in or we have a guest speaker in that presents a ministry or tells us a story of how God has worked in their lives to develop them to a place where He is putting them in a certain area of ministry, I want to talk to you tonight about understanding the call of God. How do you understand and how do you know if God is calling you to something? And I want us to look at a couple of things tonight that I think will help us in Scripture. Galatians 1, we're going to begin reading in verse number 11. Would you stand with me, if you would, please? Out of love and respect for the Word of God, Galatians 1, and then we're going to flip over to 1 Timothy 1. Begin following along with me in verse 11 of Galatians chapter number 1. The apostle says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Now I want you to notice verse number 15. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." You say, why? Because it doesn't make any sense to leave where you are to go preach to heathens. He said, I immediately conferred not with flesh and blood, because you know why? You're trying to talk yourself out of the call of God. You just do what God tells you to do. Now, in verse number 15, if you have a pencil or a pen, you believe writing in your Bible, I want you to circle the word separated me, and I want you to circle the word called me, and I will be back to that in just a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. The apostle writes again. Now, again, he's communicating here to a young preacher, but giving him some detailed information about what God has done in the apostle's life. He says in verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, I want you to circle those words, for that he counted me, I want you to circle those words, faithful, and then I want you to circle these two words, putting me into the ministry. Now, I want you to notice in these two verses, before God put anybody anywhere, there were some things he did in their life before he put them there. Now, look on what he says. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, I want you to notice how Paul described himself, of whom I am chief. You know what that tells me? God is willing to use just about anybody that'll answer the call. God will use anybody that will answer the call and allow God to do and work the process of putting you in these places. Now, Father, would you meet with us in the few moments that we have? Teach us, we ask from the Bible, in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, serving the Lord God full time in ministry has been the greatest thing that has ever happened to me in my life outside of, number one, being saved and marrying my wife. Other than that, number three is the call of God into the ministry. You know, growing up through my intermediate years and teen years, it never even entered my mind one time that I know of. I never even thought about the ministry. I never thought about surrendering to the will of God. I was lost for 23 years, and even in my young adult life, it never entered my mind that I would be serving God in the ministry. Matter of fact, I'll just tell you, right after I got saved, the first few years of my salvation, I still never thought that God would put me in the ministry. Now listen, what I did not know was that all through my life, God was orchestrating things. Did you notice the preacher back here? Did you notice Brother Ferris wondering, why did God bring me back to the United States? Did God make a mistake? No, that guy had cancer, man. God used, did you notice? He used a guy that didn't even use the right Bible to bring him back. God is going to use things to bring you to a place, listen now, where he can do the work in your life to fulfill the will of God. This guy never knew what was going on in his life. But listen, the thing that I did not know that was going on in my life was that God was orchestrating a scenario that he was putting together himself in my life to bring me into the atmosphere where one day I would make the decision to obey the call of God. You say, how did it happen, preacher? Well, first of all, I wasn't even raised in the Baptist denomination. I was raised in another denomination, in a Pentecostal church. But listen to this now. God did some incredible things in my life because the church that I attended didn't use any other Bible but the King James. I never had to fight the Bible issue because all I ever... when I was a kid, you know what I carried around as a Pentecostal kid? A King James Bible, because that's what they believed. I never had to fight that battle. So God was orchestrating some things there. But also in the church that I attended, they did have some values and some standards of separation from the world. Amen. So you know what? There were some standards of separation. They weren't even our faith. But they had some standards of separation from the world that was instilled in me. They believed in pastoral leadership and authority. The people followed. So I learned how to follow in being a layman in the church. You see, I've also found out in another denomination how easy it is to fall into man-made doctrines and practices. So learning all of this, listen, God was orchestrating something in my life. He was bringing me to a place where one day He would say, I want you. I want you. And listen, in a congregation this big, there's no doubt in my mind that God's saying to somebody tonight, I want you. I want you. Listen, God protected me, folks, from so many potential life-threatening situations. I don't have time to talk about all of them. Listen, His divine and miraculous route that He used, listen now, just to bring me to this church, I don't even have time to tell you about that. It's been a miraculous ride. But let me tell you something. What I'm saying to you tonight, the bottom line is God prearranged the circumstances. God prearranged the situations. God formulated the scenario to get me into a Baptist church. First of all, because I need to be saved. He says, now I want you. Now I didn't know He wanted me. But God said, I want you. So I'm going to orchestrate this whole scenario. And one day I'm going to put you in an independent, fundamental Baptist church. Which I didn't think I'd ever be in a Baptist church. Ever. But God said, no, I can work all that out. That's no big deal. And He did. So first of all, He wanted me. I didn't know He wanted me. So He had to orchestrate me getting saved, right? He had to put me in a place where I would be under the sound of the gospel. And listen, God didn't predetermine me to be saved. You know what He predetermined? The scenario. He created the scenario. I had to make the choice. Now, in our text reading here tonight, the Apostle Paul, by the way, who used to be Saul of Tarsus, did you notice that God in his life prearranged some things in Saul's life that led him to the journey that he took in ministry? You see, Paul in his life became a part of a zealous sect of people called the Pharisees. Matter of fact, he said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But God put him and allowed that scenario in his life. He was taught by one of the greatest of all teachers of his day, by a man named Gamaliel. He sat at his feet and listen, he was taught the law. He knew the book like the back of his hand. You know why he was going to? Because God had a plan for his life. But God put him in that scenario. Listen, you think God made a mistake when He put Saul of Tarsus there the day and witnessed the stoning of Stephen? No! You know what? God says, I'm going to put you there to watch this man stone, and I'm going to show you how a Christian dies. Because one day, he'd have to die like a Christian. So He put him in that scenario and showed him exactly how a Christian dies. And then God put him on the road to Damascus. That wasn't a mistake either. Because, by the way, you know what Paul had to start off as? He had to start off by getting saved first. God drew the scenario of the road to Damascus, but ultimately, Paul still had to believe, right? Paul still had to accept Christ. Now listen to me. I wonder how many people God said, I want you, I want you, and He put them in a similar scenario to be saved, and they said, no. And they walked. And kept walking. And now they're going to walk right off into hell. You see, what I'm saying is God is setting up scenarios. Listen to me. God has never predestined a soul to heaven or hell. The only thing He's predestined has been a plan. And that plan has been predestined since the foundation of the world. You see, God is still, listen to me, church, He's still arranging scenarios. To put you and I in that scenario and in those circumstances to make a decision. Now I want to say this. I never have and do not intend to insert myself as pastor into the role of the Holy Spirit of God and try to determine who is ministry worthy. That's not my job. My job is to preach the truth and give the Holy Spirit of God the opportunity to cultivate in your heart and then you make the decision about the call of God in your life. You see, it's not my place to decide God's will for ministry for anybody. just my job to preach the gospel and preach the truth. And listen, bring missionaries in to show you what the need is. And then you have to make the decision about the call of God in your life. I just wonder today if God is or has created a scenario in some of the lives of the people here tonight. And you know that you're right in the middle of that scenario. And God is orchestrating in your life to bring you to a decision, a point of decision. And you're listening to that still, small voice of God tonight. You see, church, God's MO has never changed. God's system of calling has never changed. Now, first of all, we know that everyone is called to salvation. No question about it, right? The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness. But long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we know that everybody is called to salvation. Now, after salvation, I think it's pretty evident from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that every believer is called to service within the kingdom of God. So everybody's called to salvation, but is everybody going to answer the call? No. Everybody, after they accept Christ, is called to some form of service in the kingdom of God. Is everybody going to answer that call? No, they're not. They're not going to answer the call to serve within the kingdom of God. So you know what we can deduct then? We can deduct then, if God is calling people to be saved, and He's calling people to serve in the kingdom of God, then what is He doing? I'll tell you what He's doing. He's building a person that'll answer the call of salvation, a person that'll answer the call of service in the kingdom of God. Listen to me. God is building a pool of candidates that He can point and say, I want you. I want you. I wonder if God's trying to add some candidates to the pool tonight. I wonder if God is speaking to someone about the Philippines or about some other country or about pastoring or about ministering in some area. When you look at the people in the scriptures like Peter and John and James and Barnabas and Paul and Timothy and Titus, God put them in the ministry, but He allowed them to go through some things before that got there. And I want to look at these little things real quick. I've got just a few moments. Go back to Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 15. I had you to circle the first phrase Paul pointed out. And here's what he said, church. He said, but when it pleased God. But when God was ready in His timing, he said, but when it pleased God, here's the first thing that Paul pointed out. God who separated me. Now remember I said that God did not predestine Paul to become an apostle. So what did he do? He predestined a scenario. He predestined a plan. Put Saul in that plan. Saul accepted that plan. He accepted salvation. He accepted the service of God. And so God says, now I want you. And he answered the call. And so he said, he has separated me from my mother's womb. It didn't mean that God reached down to his mother's womb and says, listen, I want you. When you get to be a big boy, you're going to be the great apostle Paul, the great missionary to the Gentiles. Listen, no, because Paul became a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So he's not talking about anything about God predestining him. He just said, Saul, I've separated you. In other words, listen now, I have chosen you to be tested. Because anybody that God puts somewhere, he's going to test first. He said, he separated me from my mother's womb. Saul had, listen now, no voice in the testing process. You see, God is looking around Trinity Baptist Church. You know who He's seeking? Candidates. He's seeking candidates. People that will fall into that pool of candidates to be promoted into ministry. Hey, God doesn't choose to separate, though, everyone. Can you imagine if everybody was a preacher? Who would we be preaching to? So God's not calling and putting in the ministry everyone. But listen to me, He is looking for a pool of people to test. He is looking for people to separate unto the ministry. Then notice the second thing that Paul said. He says, not only did God separate me, he said, from my mother's womb, but then he said, and called me by His grace. You see, God did not call Saul of Tarsus to become Paul the Apostle. But what he did do is he put Saul of Tarsus in a scenario of salvation first. Did he answer that call? Yes, he did. Then he told him, I am now going to put you in another scenario. He says, I want you to do thus and thus. And to shorten the story, he went and got baptized. And then God took him and took him on the backside of the Arabian desert and taught him. Taught him what? Taught him what he's going to need to know further beyond what he learned as a Pharisee. That he was going to need to learn in the ministry. So God called him, Acts 9, for salvation. And then he called him into service. Go check me out in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Paul, you know what? Before Paul got called to the full-time ministry, you know what he was doing? He was serving in the church. He's working in the church. You know what he allowed himself to do, church? He allowed himself to be put in a position to be part of the pool of candidates. I don't know of anybody that God has ever called to the ministry that wasn't busy about the Father's business in their local church. Never. So God is willing to call people by His grace. He's orchestrating the circumstances. Oh, by the way, you know something else God did? He brought a man by the name of Barnabas into Saul's life. And Barnabas went and took him under his wing and took him back to the church at Antioch. And there they served the Lord in that local church. You know what God was doing? He was orchestrating. He had already separated him. He was orchestrating the call. He was beginning to form the scenario for Paul. Now go to 1 Timothy 1 quickly. 1 Timothy 1. The three little phrases I had that you circle there. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. Now think for just a minute, church. Paul said, first of all, he separated me. He orchestrated the things that need to be done in my life to put me through a test and put me through things to prove who I am and show him my worth, my salt in the ministry. And then he said he called me. He put and orchestrated things in my life. He brought Barnabas in. He orchestrated circumstances. And then he said in verse 12, who hath enabled me? You see, God equips people with certain abilities. He equips them with certain abilities to lead, to interact socially with people. And sometimes, listen now, sometimes those abilities are hid until God orchestrates a circumstance to bring them out in that person. Some of the greatest leaders, listen, some of the greatest leaders in the movement of Christianity in the history of the world were introverts to begin with. And God created scenarios to bring out the leadership qualities. He said that God had enabled him. We don't have time, but you can go check it out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that God puts in a person's life when they get saved, God makes available spiritual gifts which play a role in the enabling process. Every believer has a spiritual gift and probably multiple spiritual gifts. Also, the yielding of our temperament to the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, listen, you know what Paul was? Paul was not a passive, melancholy individual. When you read the Bible, Paul was a very choleric individual. He was what today we would consider an in-your-face type preacher. Almost a my-way, highway type guy. That's probably what got him stoned in prison so much. But hey, listen, God had given him a temperament because he knew what this man was going to face. He couldn't face the challenges, the stonings, the prisons, and the opposition that he faced being a person that could not deal with opposition. So God enabled him. Listen, he educated him in Scripture. Think about this. He was educated in the law by Gamaliel. He was educated in the gospel by Christ. And then he was educated about his people skills by Barnabas. God put him in all of these circumstances because he knew the apostle was going to need them. So Paul said, he separated me, he called me, and now he has enabled me. Some of you here tonight, God has enabled to be a leader. God has enabled you to serve in the ministry. Look at the next thing. He says, for that he counted me. You see that little phrase, counted me? I want you to write out on the side of your Bible. I want you to put right there, God had confidence in him. Now, why did God have confidence? Because he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was zealous when he was a Pharisee. So God just took that zeal that he had toward the law and turned that toward Jesus Christ. And by the way, it translated pretty good, didn't it? Yeah, that zeal translated pretty well from the Pharisee of the Pharisees unto the apostle to the Gentiles. You see, God responded to Paul's response to God's divine scenario of choice, because ultimately Paul still had to choose to be saved. He still had to choose to serve. And then when God says, I want you, he still had to choose to go. He still had to choose to surrender. He said, he counted me. Did you notice he said he counted me faithful? Paul followed instructions. Remember, after salvation, God struck him with blindness. He says, you need to go hear this guy right here or talk to you. Listen, when the news came that Saul of Tarsus had been saved, everybody said, what? It can't possibly be. Listen, you know what it would be to us today? How shocking that would be? That would be like Osama bin Laden getting saved. That's about how shocking it would have been to those people. He said, but he counted me faithful. You know why? Because God saw him serve at Antioch. God saw that he was not going to run when he was threatened or opposition came. God again created a testing ground for the faithfulness of the apostle. And by the way, God's in the process of developing candidates for the ministry tonight in pastoring or evangelism or missions or whatever it may be. God needs you. Now, Paul said he separated him. Paul said he called him. Paul said he enabled him. Paul said he counted him. And notice what the last one is. He said, putting me into the ministry. Did you notice that that is the last of all? Because God's not going to put somebody somewhere that's not willing to be separated. God's not going to put somebody somewhere that's not willing to be called, that's not willing to be enabled, that's not willing to be counted faithful. He put me, Paul said, in the ministry. You see, God's placement is divine, and the scripture says, without repentance. God's looking tonight to put some people in the ministry. You say, oh, preacher, it's a frightening thing. No, not if it's of God. Not if it's of God. You see, God made Paul a minister. Matter of fact, Colossians 1:25 even says that. He said, he made me a minister of the gospel unto thee. God formed him and made him. You see, someone's not going to put out a product, a book, or something of that nature unless it's been approved or authorized. So God's not going to put somebody in the ministry unless he's ordained them and authorized them to be there. You know how he goes about it? Separates them. He calls them, he then enables them, then he counts them, he watches their service, and then he says, okay, I want you, but that person still has to answer, right? And if they answer, then God puts them where he wants them to be. I'm just saying to you tonight, church, in conclusion, that's this. God is still using the same system today. His MO has not changed. And God is in the process tonight of setting some of the members of Trinity Baptist Church in a scenario to make a choice. Some of you, you've already made the choice of salvation. Some of you have already made the choice to serve. My question now is, if God now has put you in that pool of candidates to call into a full-time type ministry, are you willing to answer? Has he separated you? Has he called you? Has he enabled you? Has he counted you? Because I think right now, that means some of you could say yes. You know what he's waiting now? He's waiting to put you now in the ministry. He's willing to take and place you and reveal to you that perfect will. Just understanding the call of God. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed for just a second tonight. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved? No question about it. I'm a born-again child of God. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ.